A very good morning to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is day 6 of our retreat, and we are now at the program 8:30 to 9, puja, followed by morning chanting and reflection. So we have our simple puja. Okay. We will chant the salutation. Arahaṃ sammā sambuddho bhagavā buddhaṃ bhagavantaṃ abhivādhemi svākāto bhagavatā dhammo dhammaṃ namasāmi Supatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho sanghaṃ namāmi. Okay, then now we will do our morning chanting. Page 5, the retreat chanting book, page 5. To the Blessed One, the Lord, who fully attained perfect enlightenment, to the teaching which He expounded so well, and to the Blessed One's disciples who have practiced well, to this, the Buddha, the Dhamma, and the Sangha, we render with offerings our rightful homage. It is well for us that the Blessed One, having attained liberation, still had compassion for later generations. May this simple offering be accepted for our long-lasting benefit and for the happiness it gives us. The Lord, the perfectly enlightened and blessed one, I render homage to the Buddha, the blessed one. Bow. The teaching so completely explained by him, I bow to the Dhamma. The blessed one's disciples who have practiced well, I bow to the Sangha. Now let us pay preliminary homage to the Buddha. Homage to him, the blessed one, the worthy one, the fully enlightened one. Homage to him, the blessed one, the worthy one, the fully enlightened one. Homage to him, the blessed one, the worthy one, the fully enlightened one. Now let us chant in praise of the Buddha. The Tathagata is the pure one, the perfectly enlightened one. He is impeccable in conduct and understanding, the accomplished one, the knower of the world. He trains perfectly those who wish to be trained. He is teacher of God and man. They awake holy in this world. He is God's demon and king spirit. He is seekers and sages, celestial and human beings. He has by deep insight revealed the truth. He has pointed out the Dhamma, beautiful in the beginning, beautiful in the middle, beautiful in the end. He has explained the spiritual life of complete purity in its essence and convention. I chant my praise to the Blessed One. I bow my head to the Blessed One. Now let us chant in praise of the Dhamma. Well expounded is the Dhamma of the Blessed One, can be realized in the here and the now, beyond time, beyond thought, inviting investigation, leading inwards to the heart, Nibbana, can be understood by the wise, each for themselves. I chant my praise to this teaching, I bow my head to this truth. Now let us chant in praise of the Sangha. They are the Blessed One's disciples who have good conduct, who have upright conduct, who have wise conduct, who have dutiful conduct. That is the four paths, the eight kinds of noble beings. They are the Blessed One's disciples. Such ones are worthy of gift, worthy of hospitality, worthy of offering, worthy of respect. They give occasion for incomparable goodness to arise in the world. I chant my praise to this Sangha. I bow my head to this Sangha. Now let us chant our salutation to the Triple Gem and a passage of encouragement. The Buddha, absolutely pure with ocean-like compassion, possessing the clear sight of wisdom, destroyer of worldly self-corruption, devotedly indeed, that Buddha I revered, the teaching of the Lord, like a lamp, illuminating the path and its fruits, the deathless, that which is beyond the conditioned world. Devotedly indeed, that Dhamma I revered, the Sangha, the most fertile ground of activation, those who have realized peace, awakened after the accomplished one, noble and wise, all longing abundant, devotedly indeed that Sangha I revere. This salutation should be made to that which is worthy. Through the power of such good action, may all obstacles disappear. One who knows though that they are has come to this world, and he is an Arahant, a perfectly awakened being, purifying the way leading out of delusion, coming and directing to perfect peace and leading to enlightenment. This way he has made known, having heard the teaching, he knows this. Birth is suffering, aging is suffering, sickness, disease is suffering, and death is suffering. Sorrow, lamentation, pain, grief, and despair are suffering. Association with the dislike is suffering. Action for one's loved one or prized possession is suffering. Thinking one's wish is suffering. In brief, the five aggregates of grasping are suffering. These are as follows: identification with the body, identification with feeling, identification with perception, identification with mental formation, identification with consciousness. For the complete understanding of this, the Blessed One in his lifetime frequently instructs his disciple in this way. In addition, he further instructs, Rupang anicchang, Vedana anicchang, Sanya anicchang, Sankara anicchang, Vinyanam anicchang, Rupang anatta, Saidana anatta, Sanya anatta, สังขารอนัตตาวิญญาณังอนัตตาสัพเพสังขารอนิจจังสัพเพธัมมาอนัตตาเต All of us are bound by birth, aging, sickness and death, by sorrow, lamentation, pain, grief and despair, bound by suffering, obstructed by suffering. Let us all aspire to complete freedom from suffering. The Blessed One, who long attained Parinibbana is our refuge. So too are the Dhamma and the Sangha. Attentively, we follow the pathway of that Blessed One with all of our mindfulness and strength. May then the cultivation of this practice lead us to the end of all kinds of suffering. Okay, the closing puja in Pali. Arahang sama sambuddho bhagava buddhang bhagavantang abhivademi Swakato bhagavata dhammo dhammang namassami Supatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho sanghang namami Okay, thank you. So now we will continue. Okay, we're supposed to have 1 hour of meditation, but I think we do some sharing first. Oh, we are later on the 29th April onward. We're supposed to have 1.5 hours of formal sitting and walking. Oh, okay. What I will do is, I will do some sharing first before we go to the meditation. Okay. So 9 to 10, we will do the sharing. Then after that, only formal meditation. Okay, you take out this book. What is the difference between awareness and consciousness? Oh yeah, I haven't finished. Okay, we talk about the Trinity first. Thank you for reminding. Okay, regarding the Trinity diagram, just give me a minute. I feel very hot now. I have to take this out. So we will continue. Trinity to understand cultivation. So you want to look at your book also can. It's inside your book, page 243. The Heart Sutta edition, second edition book, page 243. Okay, before that, I think Brother Chan has written down yesterday. What I have. Can you see from there? Oh, he has written it very nicely. So you see, if this form and mind is you, and your body can really talk to you and let you understand, he will tell you this. O Master, harm me not, for I am only tissue and cell. Have me work for you. Before I am too old, too weak, too fragile and sick to serve you. So contemplate on this, reflect on this. Have mercy on your own body and as I love yourself. Then you will understand the message. Because He is only teach you and sell. You harm him, abuse him, also no point. There are a lot of people, you know, there is a Mandarin song. 苦酒满杯, you heard of it? Huh? You know the meaning, no? Huh? Bitter wine, or beer. 酒 is beer. Bitter beer, full. Because you got sorrow, you go and drink. So a lot of people go and drink, go and smoke, to like, find a way to release. Understand? Sometimes they go and gamble. Sometimes they go and look for their normal friend or Macau friend. Then they go and do all the nonsense. So, have me work for you. Oh, sorry, harm me not is, don't abuse your body. Look after your body. You remember my teacher Ajayendra say, body and mind must harmonize. You need a proper body to develop the condition for you to cultivate. Otherwise, if your body is very sick or already damaged due to your own neglect, and you go and abuse and harm yourself, then you cannot cultivate. So don't be foolish. Then after that, he remind you, have me work for you before I'm too old, too weak, too fragile and sick to serve you. So while the body can serve you, make full use of it. You need it to help you earn a living, have a career or what, use it. Then in between, when you have the free time, use it to do goodness, wholesomeness. Keep the precept, avoid all evil. That is how you make use of the body. Then after that, most important one is, this physical body can allow you to cultivate, anasana, to develop the wisdom, to meditate, to develop the understanding of who you are and what you are, and how from this four circle formation, because of your sacrality, you don't understand, you thought this is what you are, then you end up projecting, creating your own suffering. Yeah? This is the suffering world, or chaotic existential world. And this one delude you, lure you, entice you, and entangle you, cause grasping, clinging, and all those things. So this one we can also write, existential world. The phenomenal world of consciousness is also the existential world. Because by the time you are too old, too weak, too fragile and sick, you want to cultivate also cannot already, understand? Not? So don't wait till it is too late. Yeah. Especially in our society. Last time, 55 years old, you have to retire. And now they increase to 60. Some company allow you to 63. So all this, but to be frank, if you can afford to, please reflect on your life. Don't work and work and work, work until you got no time to rest, no time to retire, no time to be with your family, no time to spend the quality time while you still have the means and the help. So all this is part and parcel of understanding life. Otherwise, you really don't know how to make use of it. Okay? So this one, finish, yeah? Okay. I don't have place to draw the triangle. So you look at your book better. I think I explained based on that triangle on the book. The wordings are a bit small, but if you are young, you can still read. Oh, they have a copy on their phone. You can magnify it, okay? You magnify it. So this triangle is very beautiful. Basically, cultivation is, there is a sea up there, the top of the triangle, the apex. I put that as the pure consciousness or pure awareness. Yeah. So it actually is the first thing to come out from the oneness. Yeah. So from this oneness, or true nature, or sometimes they write as Buddha nature. So this is the nature where cultivator who has developed the understanding, they will come to know. They will realize this. And this one is the one that is capable of manifesting a lot of things. So the first thing is, when you have developed this nature, then you have a special spiritual nature. But whoever spiritual nature is never apart from the original nature or this true nature. It's from here all things arise. So when you come as a human being or living being, means you have to use your karmic nature to condition a form and mind to arise. You have to come to the existential world, you need a form and mind, understand? But the moment the form and mind arise, this form and mind actually has the link to your this pure awareness nature and your true nature, because it arises from there. So because of that, these two actually is inside the form and mind. But because you don't know how to cease your mundane mind, that's why you cannot realize your true mind. So for cultivator of the way, they know, the Buddha also know, this is sati, mindfulness, your true mind, your silent mind, your meditative mind. So because of that, he asks you to develop the stability of it. Means reverse the light, shine within, develop the awareness, understand, then awaken. Once you awaken, you are always with the pure awareness nature or the true mind. The mundane mind, which is related to existence, to creation, is a separate entity. This one is dependent, originating, condition arising. Not real, not what you think. So because of that, you meditate to realize this, that you have two minds. Without thought, the true mind arises. That's why it's very difficult to realize this, to even understand this and meditate accordingly. So in the diagram, the apex C, the pure consciousness, is actually your true mind, or what we call pure awareness nature. That's why in bracket, the oneness nature is the source. Then you have the essence of mind, which is the true nature or the original nature. This one is the unconditioned, beyond thought, beyond time, and beyond mind. Cannot be perceived or sensed, beyond no word, nothing. Stillness, silent mind. So from the pure awareness, the sea up there, or the pure consciousness without its content, you can move either towards the right or towards the left. So to live life, you have to go to the right to create mundane living and experiences. You can see or not, the arrow on the right, slanting come down. So this one has to interact with the senses. S is your senses. It's also your mundane mind, mundane thinking, and mundane consciousness. Because you have the sense basis, the physical body has the six sense basis. So this is where it creates the five aggregates of form and mind, the two aspects. First aspect as a human being, then second aspect as a thought, or what we call the pure awareness. When it receives the content of consciousness, it manifests into the thought process, or what we call true consciousness. It manifests into the phenomenal world of consciousness. And this one is experiencing the paticca-samuppanna, dependent origination, all the time. Whereas if you use the pure awareness or the pure consciousness to move towards the other direction, which is the left side, and that is awareness-based meditation. Silent mind to develop the direct seeing, while sati or pure awareness nature. That's why when you stay there, it does not think. It can see things as they are. It can insight into phenomena. It can develop understanding and wisdom. It can observe, see things as they are. The silent mind observing the reality, observing what is, observing suchness. Seeing things as they are is very important. Then you develop wisdom. The you is understanding or wisdom. Wisdom born of samadhiti, which is right view. And this one becomes yoniso manasikara. So after you have developed the you or the understanding, which is your wisdom, born of first turning, second turning, or third turning, then this wisdom connected to the form and mind, the S there, you use this wisdom to support the form and mind, to give it the understanding to live life, then the horizontal line is for heedful living. You understand or not? This is true living. Means you can live the life of an enlightened one, noble one, so that you don't have to suffer. So based on this, it's easy to understand how you should cultivate. If you go the right-hand side, everything is thought-based. You understand or not? Because you use the pure awareness or consciousness to trigger off the five gear of form and mind. And this is where the phenomenal world of consciousness is. Without the Dhamma, without the wisdom developed through the left direction, you will be deluded. You don't know how to live life. That's why this triangle or trinity representation is a very good way of explaining all this. So now you understand. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So inside the triangle, why did I write totality? Means the world of awareness. Because basically, if you are not within the world of awareness, yeah, which is the oneness, the totality of the thing, you cannot understand this movement. Understand? And you cannot develop the cultivation to enable you to come to this existential world, to live life through that understanding, through that wisdom. And when you have the understanding of life, you know how to live life, then like the Heart Sutta say, when you realize true emptiness, life becomes wonderful. That's why 真空妙有, true emptiness is wonderful existence, and that is the meaning. Okay, so this is understanding life, understanding the secret of life. Then when you understand life, you know how to live life. Then you can experience all of the pristine beauty and wonders of life. Then life takes a turn, everything becomes meaningful, wonderful, amazingly different. That's why you can live life in the sense that you can be with the moment, moment to moment, to experience all of the pristine beauty and wonders of life occurring within the moment. Just like just now I teach you all to walk up the hill. If you do it mindfully with awareness and you silence your mind, there are so much things within nature that you can experience. And that is the reality. Moment to moment, everything is very pristine, very beautiful, very wonderful. Instead of manifesting the mundane mind through your own ignorance and delusion to go through all the chaotic mind state, the chaotic, heedless thinking, the stirring of the mind, creating all the negative psychological mind state like fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation. Then every time oscillate between like and dislike, pleasant, means you stir your mind, you react, you create mundane thinking a lot. Then mundane thinking being taught through words, it divide. When it divide, it creates unnecessary conflict, misunderstanding, ideology, sometimes war. That's why when you understand all this through the meditative process, then your wisdom become different. Then it's very easy to understand life and live life. Right? Technically, very obvious, no need to choose. What is there to choose? One is so chaotic, so full of suffering and misery. And yet, you cannot see the danger. You keep on to habitual tendency through your heedless way of living life. Keep on going into there. That's why samsara keep on rolling. But you do not want to develop the wisdom and understanding to stay above the chaotic world, the suffering world. You like to jump in and like be part of it because you deludedly cling and grasp. You think it's beautiful, it's wonderful, because what you are after are materialistic things, anasana, not spiritual understanding. So your wonderful life is you think you're wealthy, you got a lot of money, then develop the ability to be very famous, then you will be happy. But the Buddha already told you, within the existential, you have the eight worldly conditions. Wherever there is gain, there will be loss. And most of the time, when crisis come, whether currency crisis or economic crisis, or now trade war crisis, a lot of people's wealth will be wiped off. Understand? Then during this period, a lot of them actually suffer, become afflicted, miserable. So do contemplate, reflect, and understand, then determine, have the strong faith and resolve to go after this understanding so that every life you come, you don't have to suffer, you don't have to toil, you don't have to be like gong gong toa, gong gong jia, gong gong si, everything also gong. Right? Means deludedly, you are born into the existential world through what? The law of karma. Then deludedly you grew up. Then after that, deludedly you live life. But you not really live life, you existed through life. You understand? Huh? You know what is the difference between existed through life and living life or not? Mean you gong gong, you don't know what is happening. Huh? You are conscious of life, but you never have the awareness to live life. That's why later on the blue book, what is the difference between consciousness and awareness is very relevant and very important. Okay? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we finish. So the next one is we go to the blue book. This book, what is the difference between consciousness and awareness?
Biodata of Brother Teo Kian Kun. Brother Teo graduated from University of Malaya in civil engineering in 1979. He has been a spiritual practitioner, calm meditator since 1971. Since his retirement in 2001 from his engineering career, he has been sharing his understanding and experience of the Dharma with those who are keen in their search for true happiness, peace and liberation from birth and death, and all mental suffering. With this understanding, it is hoped that they can become more virtuous, nobler, and wiser, so that they can be a blessing to all. He gives Dharma talks, holds and conducts meditation classes and retreats, and weekly Dharma classes at various meditation centers, Buddhist societies, and places that invite him. For more details of Brother Teo's Dharma activities and his Kalyanamitas grouping, please visit his Dharma website at https://brotherteo.com. Preface. It is Brother Teo's sincere wish that Dharma friends, spiritual practitioners, seekers of truth, and cultivators will be able to make use of the enclosed Dharma transcript notes to develop a better understanding of the Buddha Dharma as taught by the Buddha, so that they may progress along the path of Dharma to become more virtuous, nobler, and wiser human beings, to be a blessing to all of humanity and the world. As these notes were mostly compiled based on a transcript from the recording of his Thursday Dharma class, dated 11th of July 2019, the text is aligned as closely as possible to the colloquial speech in the talk. However, some editorial amendments have been made to the text without detracting from the essence of the talk to make it more readable with lesser colloquial connotations. With this, it is hoped that readers can accordingly adjust themselves to better understand its true meaning and intent. A good way to do this is to listen to the recordings first before reading the transcript notes. To listen to the recording. Number two, acknowledgement. It is the donor's sincere intentions that these Dharma transcript notes be shared with those who are interested and have the affinity to receive them. I would like to take this opportunity to thank and rejoice in the generosity and wholesomeness of all those Dharma friends or Kalyanamitas who have donated and helped in the transcription, formatting, proofreading, Pali words editing, publishing, etc., to make this free distribution of Dharma Dana possible. Special thanks should be accorded to Brother Beng Lim, Sister Alicia Cheong, Sister Zhao Man Yuan, Sister Lim Bo Kim, and Sister Han Po Ching, who had volunteered and taken the initiative to help prepare the initial draft transcripts for my subsequent editing, thereby enabling this Dharma transcript book to be printed. By the power of all this wholesomeness, may all beings be well and happy, free from all mental and physical sufferings and dangers, and may there be love, peace, and joy deep within their hearts. And may it also pave the way for there to be causes and conditions for all Dharma friends who have donated or helped in one way or another to realize their good and noble wishes, aspirations, soonest possible. With Metta Office, Brother Teo Kian Kun, 18 June 2023. Number 3. What is the difference between awareness and consciousness? 11 July 2019. 3.1. Pre-Puja Chanting. Greetings by Brother Teo. Today is 11 July 2019, Thursday class. Let us compose our mind and develop the Sada, Viriya, and Sati to commence our pre-puja chanting now. End of puja chanting. 3.2. Awareness-based meditation. As usual, we will have our half an hour of awareness-based meditation. We will turn off the lights and you can proceed with your meditation. Just relax the body and mind and maintain some form of attention. Then, we can commence our half an hour of awareness-based meditation. Always remember, awareness-based meditation is to enable us to develop the awareness within. So, we just silence our mind, relax the body and mind, and maintain awareness. Just do that. No need to know or do anything, because the knowing and doing are always by the thoughts. Make your mind alert, attentive, and aware. Just aware. Whatever arises, aware, finish. No need to continue with the thinking or mental stirring or proliferation of thought process. Just aware, silent, to develop more and more moments of awareness. Then allow the awareness to become your main activity. Meaning, your mind is most of the time just aware. Whatever object of awareness can be your heartbeat or any vibration within your heart area. You use to anchor your awareness, rest there. Later, When all these activities and movements have become very subtle and very still, there is nothing for you to anchor your awareness to. During that time, you just stay around the heart area. Or if you are using your breathing, Anapanasati, as your object of meditation, then stay with your Anapanasati to develop awareness of the in and out breath, meaning maintain the awareness, just aware, like what the Buddha said, breathing in aware, breathing out aware. Whenever the mind wanders off, bring it back and develop this training of your awareness until this breath becomes very subtle and very still. It is the same whether you start with the object of meditation or you straight away start at your heart area or wherever you can place your awareness. You just stay there. Those of you who are familiar with the rising and falling of the abdomen can also do the same. You can stay there at the abdomen and maintain awareness there. Those are the activities to anchor your mind, to allow your mind to stay there. But finally, you must return to your heart. If that's the case, you might as well go in the heart straight away. But for those who do Anapanasati, you don't worry. Ultimately, the Anapanasati will take you down to the heart area. Because the in and in breath will take you down to the heart, and from the heart, you will develop the movement outwards. When you can stabilize your awareness sati, your mind will start to become different. You will have no more thought. You are only aware. When you are just aware, you are not thinking. And because you don't think, you become very quiet, very peaceful, and very still. That's how you can experience piti, sukham, and finally pasati, the tranquility and stillness of mind. When everything has become very quiet, very still and very subtle, don't do anything. Just stay at the heart area. Stay there. The mind is now a free mind, without any movement of thought, nothing. Then let it stay there until the mind enters sati. You must develop it until awareness nature within is very stable, very still and clear, until like no more movement of thought, no more sankhara activity. Everything is very quiet, very still. That is your true mind, your meditative mind, your silent mind, your awareness nature within. That is the one you need to realize. Without that, you cannot realize the first hallmark of Master Huineng, the sixth patriarch. Master Huineng said, you must realize the first hallmark of no thought, wu nian de jin jie. Wu nian means without thought. Then inquire, without thought, who are you? What are you? You will understand when you reach that stage. That is why the initial training to be aware is very important. Spend time on it, stabilize it. Then you will progress in your meditation. Okay, now I will let you meditate on your own. I will now set the alarm so that you can have the 30 minutes of awareness-based meditation. The four supports, relax, aware, maintaining awareness and trust, for awareness-based meditation are very important. Allow your body and mind to be completely relaxed. Relax means don't do anything. Be at ease. Let things be. Whatever arises, just aware. Because you are relaxed, all your stress, tensions, and whatever tightness and unrelaxed part within your physical and mental, they will slowly adjust itself and settle down to reach a state of still relaxation and be at ease. Meaning, you are truly relaxed. When you are truly and completely relaxed, it means there is nothing troubling you. Your mind is at peace. Your physical body is without stress, without tension. When that physical body is so relaxed, until you are completely without any tension or stress. That is your meditative body and mind that is just aware and at ease. There is nothing to trouble the mind. You can just let things be. And the awareness nature stabilizes. The awareness nature is your true mind, your inner or true nature, and your meditative silent mind. That awareness nature is very important, and you must stabilize and realize it. Okay, now I will let you meditate on your own for 30 minutes. Ding, ding, ding. End of 30 minutes of awareness based meditation.
You just read as the bell ring.
Huh? 3.3, post-meditation Dharma sharing. You can now slowly and mindfully come out of the meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner awareness, and inner calmness and inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. These are the mind states you need to live life and to develop the daily mindfulness awareness to be aware throughout the day, leading to heedfulness. 3.3.1 Dharma sharing by Brother Teo on the topic, what is the difference between awareness and consciousness? Brother Teo, this question topic is very good. What is the difference between awareness and consciousness? Understanding these two terms is very important. How many of you understand? Nobody understands? Cannot be. After such a long period of sharing, anyone wants to try answering it based on what you all have learned? Yes, Sister Ingby. Sister Ingby said, Brother Teo, this is just based on whatever I understand. Brother Teo replied, you should understand, don't worry. Just answer based on what you understand, then it should be correct. Sister Ingby replied, when one is conscious, it doesn't mean he is aware. He may be conscious in the sense that he can hear, he can see, he can feel the tactile sensation and whatever. But it doesn't mean that he is mindful or aware. He could be in a dreamy state.
So this one is very important. Eh? Most human beings are conscious of life, understand? But you never live life because you don't have inner awareness. That's why I remember last night, Tracy came down and asked me some question. I think she find it very hard to understand what I tell her. I keep on explaining, he keep on asking the same question. Then after that, I tell her, you are not listening. He cannot understand. He said, how can Brother Teo say I'm not listening? Because you are still at your thought level, understand? You are still using the conscious mundane mind to listen. You have to listen attentively without thought. Then you can have an open mind. Huh, Tracy? Can you understand? Because otherwise you will think that I try to reprimand you or scold you. No. Why should I do that? What is more important is you are in that state is because you are before the understanding comes, you are what you are, understand? That's why you have that question, which to me is very good, at least you ask. But when I try to explain to you, what is happening is you are trying to every time tell me what your thought want to tell me. And if you are not careful, this is what will develop into habitual tendency, your habit. Means you are not silencing your mind to give yourself a chance to listen to what people can advise you. Then like I tell you last night, if you don't change, you continue to believe what the thought tell you, then you will remain what you are. The only way to transform is to change, to straighten your view. That's why you have to listen attentively. Means try to develop the understanding of what is listening. Just like this two words. When you are conscious of light, that's why Aang Bi understand. You may not be aware. This one not easy, you know. You think you can understand. You are very confused. To you is both also same. Understand now? Because the moment you wake up, you say, you are living life already. But that is not living. Because that is, you are conscious of life. But internally, you are not aware. You don't know what is going on. You are lost in thought. The consciousness non-stop through the sixth sense door keep on arising. Then from your memory, your brain, your view, your conditioning, belief system, then sometimes your thought tell you the wrong thing, you develop the fear. That's why you keep on telling me, but when I'm not at home, I cannot sleep. I cannot relax. How come at home you can sleep, you can relax? Because, you know what? Comfort zone, understand? That is the place you are away. Then you don't think about cannot sleep, because you know at home you can sleep. But when you are out, because you experience the situation where you get into problem of trying to sleep and trying to relax, then that thought haunts you, you know? That thought creates unnecessary fear in you. Then when you have that fear, you actually cannot sleep on. Then the thought will tell you, hey, sleep lah, relax lah. That thought is active, the fear, the phobia is behind. Then when you have this problem and you try to seek an answer, you go and ask around, then people explain to you, before you can even listen and understand, you already say, but I like that one, no, I cannot sleep, no, I cannot relax. Then later on I say, at home how? He said, at home no problem. Then what is the problem? The problem is you are affected by your own thought. That thought that creates the underlying fear so that you try to struggle to sleep. Yet the thought reminds you that you are outside, you cannot sleep on. And you go and believe it. scam, kena scam. We have bosong, the lack of peace. So it's similar, awareness and consciousness. You may be conscious of life, most human beings are like that, but you never have awareness within to enable you to live life. When you are aware there is clarity, you are with the moment without thought. Otherwise, busy, lost in thought, heedlessly thinking, stirring, reacting, worrying, panicking. That's why the heedful mind that is aware and the heedless mind that is conscious, the two are different, world of a different. Slowly understand, Sadhu. Okay, Maya, continue.
Pratyo said, very good. Yes, he could be heedlessly thinking or rattling off the thought process, etc. Thank you and Sadhu. Brother Adam, Brother Teo, we can still have awareness even though we are unconscious, right? For example, when we are in a hospital on an operating table, we can be aware of our surroundings even though we have been put to sleep under anesthesia.
Read on.
Brother Teo answered, are you sure you can? When you are unconscious, you are knocked off. What you have heard is an out-of-the-body experience, OBE. OBE means the consciousness has come out of the body. When the consciousness come out, they can see, can hear, etc. They are like aware, but when they speak, the human beings cannot hear or see them. That one, the mind has come out, so it's different. What Sister Aang Bi is trying to explain is based on the normal hearing meaning of these words. You see, as human beings, we have this conscious moment in life. What does conscious of life mean? It means you are not asleep. You are not in the unconscious or subconscious sleeping modes. But people who meditate, they can go into the sleeping mode yet maintain awareness inside. That is possible, but you must be very good. You must have very stable mindfulness. That's why just now I asked you, when they sedate you, are you sure you can be aware? If you can, I will sadhu you because that one very few people can do. 3.3.1.1 Understanding awareness nature within. This inner awareness is an awareness that is within your nature, which can be aware of outside, aware of whatever that goes on within your form and mind. So, there is this inner awareness. Awareness has two stages. First stage of awareness is just the normal worldly awareness, which is from within or inside. You are aware of whatever that is going on. But most people are not aware because when their thoughts arise, they are lost in thought and no longer aware. But if you have developed this training of the mind to be aware, you are always with your true mind and your inner awareness is very stable and very different. Very, very different. That one can be aware of your thinking, your mental process, your consciousness, your whatever movements, whether physical or mental movements, or even nature's movement. This type of awareness has two modes. First is the specific phenomena awareness mode. It is just awareness, aware of the phenomena, means the awareness and the phenomenon move as one. The other is the awareness that is completely silent inside. It is silent inner awareness without a center. We call it a spacious awareness. Your awareness becomes one with nature, the oneness nature. It has merged into the surroundings. It is just a oneness nature because there is no center from where it will dwell. It has merged with the oneness. So those are the two modes of awareness. The second stage of awareness is the much more refined spiritual awareness born of the supra mundane mind.
Okay, we stop here. Huh? Yeah, okay. You can have your 1 hour of awareness-based meditation. So we mark this page, okay? Yeah, Hui Lin, yes.
I would like to ask about the out-of-body experience.
Yes.
So out-of-body experience means that your consciousness are totally out from body. If anything done on your body...
Put nearer your mouth.
Oh, if anything done on your body, you will not feel it, right?
Definitely won't feel it. You are outside already. The body is under anesthesia, understand? Sedate already. But your consciousness come out. Actually, most of the time, when your consciousness come out, you know what does that mean? Your craving force not that strong already. You are supposed to die already. But somehow, not time for them to die yet. That's why they finally come back into the body. And sometimes they really die. Then they saw the doctor and nurse panic. Because the heartbeat stopped. Means the life force didn't come. So what they do? They electric shock you. Not shock, shock you. Make you happy. Shock you. Then through that, it can spark off the condition for the consciousness to come back. So sometimes when this thing happens, the consciousness can be like affected. Then it just managed to go in.
If you say cannot feel that, why certain people say that when they have passed away, then you better don't move the body and whatsoever.
that one is what people tell you. Understand? Because these are all the various beliefs that people have. I already told you, the Buddha already told you, the body is the body. Understand? The consciousness that is trapped inside with the craving force can feel, can experience. But when they sedate you, they numb the part of the brain that can be conscious. So when that part that is responsible for consciousness has been numb, you cannot be conscious, you become unconscious. That's why that is sedate. So, you see, when they talk about die, don't touch and all those things, they themselves may not have the understanding of what this is. Well, most of these people, they actually heard it from maybe some form of practice by certain sect or tradition or maybe belief system. It can be Buddhist also, because there are some type of Buddhist tradition or teaching that believe in that. Within that few days after they die, don't disturb them. Their understanding is they believe if they are cultivator, they are going through that stage, especially the Tibetan. You heard of Powa? P-O-W-A? They all follow the Tibetan before a long time ago. So they try to teach them how to make use of that death moment to realize enlightenment. But they believe during that stage, the mind actually go into cessation, then come out. Understand? No? After craving for God, it cease. There you go. Then you can develop that ability, then you can connect and develop that ability to be enlightened at them. But please understand this. If it can be done, then no need to meditate already, understand? It's like you all have a famous saying, Mandarin, 什么抱佛脚? Ah, 临时抱佛脚. You think that one can work? I wish you luck. So, but it doesn't mean that the Tibetan Powa does not work or work. That one is their way of practice. Where they have their training. Then they have somebody while you are on the deathbed about to die to guide you. Then they believe it can be done. Whether it's true or not, you have to find out. But the Buddha already explained very clearly. The cultivation is not like that one. And even at my level, I know. Before a person dies, the karmic consciousness take over. You actually not what you are. That's why most of them, they say lao huan xiao, they simply say thing, right? And most people will tell you, they see the deceased friend, relative, or coming to visit him, talking to him. You know why or not? Where they about to die. Their frequency has reached that frequency where they can see them, hear them, talk to them. So all this, no need to know. Develop heedfulness. If without heedfulness, last minute you hope, you try your luck. Well, the Buddha never teach this type of meditation. This one is, I think, certain branches of Buddhism, they evolve their own. That's why you look at Theravada, don't have this. You look at Mahayana, also don't have this. Understand? Okay?
Brother, there's an experience I had. My auntie, when she was she had a stroke, and she was unconscious. Then I went to visit her. I just touched her hand and said, "Hi, I'm here." And she can hold my hand back now.
Yeah, definitely.
She's not gone yet. Mentally, she's still.
Because it's stroke. Stroke is different. There is a what is his name already? Kwa something on Brickfield. The wife got a stroke in the hospital with a government servant. Kwa Chi Boon, you know. How many years? 10 or 15 years, I think. Because you go and hold their body, supported by machine, it's still warm. My grandmother also, last minute before she died, she wanted to see me earlier on, tell my mother, get your second son. He called me by name, ask him to come back. So I came back from school. She waited for me, you know, 3-4 hours. You know. Then my mother told me, the stool also she cannot control. But she still determined to meet me. You know. Then when I reached home, I went and see him, very serene. You know. Then I held her hand. You know. She hold my hand. You know. Then, gone. But serene, smile. Means her consciousness before she died, she can see my nature. She wants to see me. He got 9 grandchildren, no. I am number 2, no. Why look for me? The rest all she not interested. No? She can see. During that time, they can see. Yeah. My second last teacher told me, that one got psychic one. Yeah. He said when his father passed away, before that, the father don't believe what she say. When the father thought she satyam long. Then when the father passed away, the father in that, you call what, when the conscience come out, the conscience can see. Then the father apologize or pay respect. But the nature different. Understand? All this, for those who have the understanding, they know when the consciousness come out, their ability to perceive is like 10 to 15 times enhanced. No? You know why? Not trapped in the physical body. The consciousness is free. And when it's free, it can see. Understand not? Then people's nature, all they can see. But they don't know what that is. Understand not? We are deluded. But this one, her own daughter, no? When the home daughter tell him what she go through, all those things, she don't believe. He don't believe. He say, what nonsense are they talking about? And all those things. It's just like the spiritual people talk to you, and if you're interested, they think you can, and they tell you, then you say, what is this guy trying to tell me? Fairy tale. But when you pass away, your consciousness come out, you see, you get a shock. That's why the father apologized. The father kneeled on and paid respect to her. So this is what will happen. But don't go and get yourself too involved in all this sort of thing. I know that topic, out-of-body experience, near-death experience, are very interesting topic. A lot of people talk about it. But just listen. Wait till you meditate, then you understand. Okay? These are not very special occurrences. When you know how to die, you know all these are possible. Yeah, when I was 8-9 years old, my consciousness came out. And it came out because I was supposed to die. And you're supposed to go out first before your... There is a silver cord that follow on. Before that silver cord severed, you don't die on. You can still go in. They call that the astral body. But the silver cord once gone, the consciousness free, that is your random of consciousness. The remainder inside come out. And that one cannot go in already. Because the silver cord that connect you to the form and mind, gone. Technically, I die. But because I know how to die, I got no avijja, no rebirth consciousness. That's why somehow I know what to do. I go in. I no need to go to the electric shock to come in. No need. Naturally, I know how to go in. But when I went in, I realized I cannot take control of the body. It's like not my body, where my silver cord gone. Then I give it a push. Pop, I went in. No sound. I went in. Then once I regained control of my physical body, I went out and looked for my brother. I said, just now you went in and do all those things and say all those words. He looked at me. You were sleeping like a log. How do you know? You know who or not? Chai Suk. He was so much younger than me that time. Now you ask him, I don't think he remember. So these are the things that are possible. Okay. Anything else? Okay. Any more questions? Otherwise, you meditate.